Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
Hello and welcome to the Premier League Preview Show with me, Russell Hargreaves, as we build up to another massive weekend in the English top flight. It's back after a brief break for the third round of the FA Cup, and coming up, former Liverpool striker Neil Mellor joins us to build up to what for many is the big game of the weekend, Liverpool versus runaway leaders Manchester City. Former Arsenal defender Reece Weston guides us through the Gunners' all-important trip to Bournemouth, and the ex-Chelsea striker Sam Parkin helps us look ahead to the Blues against Leicester City. We'll also touch on all the other seven games and much more, with so much at stake at both ends of the table on this, the Premier League Preview Show. Our first stop is Anfield. Sunday afternoon at 4pm UK time is Liverpool versus Manchester City, and I'm delighted to say that the former Reds forward Neil Mellor, who will be part of our commentary team alongside Phil Blackett, joins us now. Neil, how's it going?
Yeah, hello, Russ.
Looking forward to this. What an almighty test for your former team against this City team, who are just imperious, aren't they?
Yeah, I think we're all looking forward to the game, but you say it's going to be a test for Liverpool. It's going to be a test for Manchester City. You know, I think Manchester City have been absolutely superb this season. There's no doubt about that, being an incredible unbeaten run in terms of the Premier League. But this is one game where you're thinking Liverpool will really test this defence, this Manchester City defence, and test this unbeaten run.
I mean, Liverpool's form has been very, very good, hasn't it, in recent months, and particularly in the Premier League. And I still wonder whether one or two people don't quite realise that because of City's brilliance. It's kind of seen one or two other teams almost be glossed over with how well they're actually doing.
Well, I'll tell you, Liverpool are unbeaten in 17 games. Absolutely flying. There's been a real feel-good factor about Liverpool, a real momentum. I think the arrival of Van Dijk helped that also as well, because there's a lot of criticism at times, certainly during the season, about Liverpool's defensive issues. And certainly the arrival of Van Dijk is seen to hopefully help in those areas. And one of Liverpool's main strengths has been going forward, the way Liverpool have created so many chances. And one of the way Liverpool play is that counter-attacking football, the way they turn defence into attack so quickly. And that's where I think they'll get joy against Man City, because City, as we know, like to play open football. They like to get forward, like the full-backs to get forward and get involved. And that could be an opportunity for Liverpool to show their strengths with the counter-attacking football.
Well, let's maybe focus on that first then, Neil. And Mohamed Salah involved in, 22 goals in his opening 21 Premier League games for Liverpool. 17 goals, 5 assists, missed the cup action, newly crowned African Footballer of the Year, of course, and hopefully back and with another role to play clearly.
Big player for Liverpool. Obviously, having lost Coutinho this week, which was a huge blow, he's become a very important player for the team. So I think when he arrived, because of the way Mane performed last season, he was seen as such an important key player with Coutinho. But since Salah's arrived, he's taken the pressure away from Mane, taking the pressure away from Coutinho, and really stood out as a standout player for Liverpool this season. Some of the goals he scored have been quite incredible. And he really suits the way Jurgen Klopp wants to play that quick counter-attacking football. And the pace he has, you think about, you know, some of the defenders in the Premier League, there's not many that can keep up with Salah. He's such a quick lad and scores so many goals. It's been absolutely outstanding from him.
All this talk about whether or not Naby Keita is going to come in early from RB Leipzig, regardless, Neil, do you see Liverpool reinvesting some of that cash from Coutinho in addition to Van Dijk in the next few weeks?
Yeah, I do. I think there will be some additions coming in January. Certainly, if it can be done, I know Cater's being mentioned. I don't think that will be likely. I think they've been pretty clear that we'll have to wait till the summer. And what you would say is, though, Coutinho going as big a player as he has been for Liverpool, and he's been a great influence in terms of that creative player in the final third for Liverpool. When Liverpool lost Luis Suarez a few years ago, it was a huge problem because they didn't have a team, they didn't have the players to really step up and replace what was Suarez and the influence he had. The difference is, this time Coutinho going, Jurgen has created a team at Liverpool where Liverpool don't rely on one individual. It's not all about Coutinho in the Liverpool team. Yes, it's a big blow and going because of the talent he is, but what Jurgen's created is a team where all of the players can contribute, whether it's Salah, whether it's Mane, whether it's Firmino, Lallana back to full fitness, Oxlade-Chamberlain learning and developing the way Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool want to play. So there's other players who can contribute with the absence of Coutinho.
Now, you mentioned Neil Jurgen Klopp. In all competitions, no opposing manager has beaten Pep Guardiola more often. He's done it four times, the same number as Jose. That's going to give him a little boost, shall we say, in the background.
Yeah, well, it's not easy to do. You know, Pep, he's gone in there, was building in his first season and didn't succeed in terms of winning anything. And at Manchester City, they are expected to be competing and winning things. So this season, as they've shown, they've dominated the Premier League so far. What are they, 15 points clear? They've progressed from last season. They've been absolutely superb. And it's very difficult to beat them, as it's been proven this season. I think it's only Shakhtar Donetsk in the Champions League. And they'd already won the group by that point, Manchester City. So it's going to be tough. But we're hoping that there'll be a few instances. The fact that Jurgen has a good record against Pep. The fact that City have such a poor record travelling to Anfield in recent years. And hopefully the attack of Liverpool can really test this defence of Manchester City and hopefully and this unbeaten run, which has been superb from City so far.
It really has, hasn't it? And during that run, City winning the reverse fixture 5-0 back in September. I appreciate there's been a lot of water under the bridge since then, but they've not done the double in the league against Liverpool for nearly 80 years, 1936 to 1937. That is something to certainly for them aim for, isn't it? It would be quite a historical achievement.
Yeah, it was a big game back in September. I remember it was just on the back of an international break. Liverpool were absolutely flying going into that international break. And City hadn't been that convincing at the start of the season. I think they got a late victory at Bournemouth. So they went into this game not showing the form that they have done in terms of where they're at now compared to where they were at. The big incident was the red card to Mane. You know, had he stayed on the pitch, I think it would have been a more competitive game. But City showed, with the quality they have going forward, the problems they can cause you. If you're not at it defensively, this City team will open you up time and time again. And they were ruthless in that second half, scoring, what, 5 goals in the end to win comfortably?
I mean, some absolutely brilliant players. And Sergio Aguero, I'll just bring up, first of all, who scored more Premier League goals against Liverpool than any other Manchester City player. Aguero, for someone who at one point didn't maybe appear to be flavour of the month when Jesus came in, boy, has he just reminded everybody what a brilliant player he is.
Yeah, he is. He will be in that small list of City's greatest ever players, Aguero, because of the amount of goals he's contributed to throughout his time there. He's a South American. He's come over and he's stuck it out at Man City. You know, he's been part of this building process to what is a very dominant force in terms of always competing at the top end of English football. And he's such a threat inside the penalty area. His movement's outstanding. His finishing ability is there. And the players around will create those opportunities. So I think he's a massive player for Manchester City. I think he has been. And Liverpool will have to be mindful of his movement and the threat he has.
Now, Kevin De Bruyne, again, absolutely outstanding. Despite that potential injury niggle, he came back within days and keeps scoring, keeps assisting. You look at how Pep Guardiola's improved massively, the likes of Raheem Sterling, Leroy Sané's coming on. It's a remarkable set of options, isn't it, that City have? A little bit, like you made the point with Liverpool as well, sharing it around a bit.
Yeah, well, it is. You take one of those players out, as has been proven with Jesus, and they're still creating so many chances, still scoring plenty of chances. So that they have that throughout the side. I think Fernandinho is a big player for them. You know, he sits just in front of the defence there and allows De Bruyne, David Silva to get on the ball and really create those chances for the attacking players. The thing about City is that, and we talk about how great they are going forward, I'm not sure how much that defence has really been tested at times this season. We've been impressed with Edison coming over. He made a big save, didn't he, at 2-1 against Manchester United to make sure they won that game away from home. But this is a real chance for Liverpool to test this City defence to see how good they are, because we know how good they are going forward. But it'd be interesting to see how good they are defensively.
Just how key, then, is this Anfield factor? You've talked briefly about how Liverpool are unbeaten in what I think is the last 14 Premier League home games against City, isn't it? 10 wins, 4 draws. Last time they lost was 2003. It is a very special place, and I guess all the more special now it's an even bigger venue as well.
Yeah, it's been a great addition, the new main stand built at Anfield there. Liverpool haven't been beaten at home this season. That's impressive. It's now a tough place to come to. There's been a few frustrating performances in terms of teams taking away a point when perhaps there shouldn't have been by coming to Anfield and frustrating Liverpool, getting everyone behind the ball. But City won't do that. City will come the way Pep believes in playing football with the players he has, and will have a go at Liverpool. So I think it will be a really entertaining game to watch, and it'll be about taking your chances, taking those chances when they come about, to make sure the momentum swings your way in the game.
Neil Mellor, former Liverpool striker, alongside Phil Blacker. For everyone listening outside the UK and Ireland, from 4 p.m. Sunday UK time, Liverpool against Manchester City. Neil, we appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Neil Mellor joining us on the Premier League preview show. Loads to look forward to. Up next, we talk to Reece Weston, head of Arsenal's trip to Bournemouth. This is the Premier League preview show. I'm Russell Hargreaves as we now look ahead to another of our big Coventry games outside the UK and Ireland over the course of the weekend to come. 1:30 on Sunday lunchtime UK time is Bournemouth versus Arsenal at the Vitality Stadium. Pleased to say that the man I'll be commentating alongside, Reece Weston, the former Arsenal defender, joins us on the show now. Reece, how's it going?
Very well, thank you. Very well. How are you, sir?
Yes, not too bad. Looking forward to this one. From an Arsenal point of view, we'll start there, your former club. This is just massive, isn't it? Huge that they get a Premier League win.
Every game for Arsenal currently is huge. And none more so than this weekend against Bournemouth, which incidentally won't be an easy game. They've had such an inconsistent season once again, the Gunners. And, you know, in the context of the season, you know, nothing but a win will do at this stage.
No, I completely agree with you. And from the Gunners' point of view, Reece, this is a game that they probably should win, but away from home this season has been particularly tough, hasn't it? They just can't seem to either take chances or even get enough of a stranglehold, enough of a foothold in some of these games.
No, it's a strange one. I think they've won 2, maybe 3 away from home all season, which for a team of Arsenal's stature is nowhere near good enough. And a team that has designs on mounting challenges for trophies, you know, away form is so vitally important. And you know, the form book would suggest that Arsenal would be favourites to win. And you look at the teams on paper and you'd suggest that Arsenal were strong enough to overcome Bournemouth. But I like Bournemouth. I like their philosophy. I like how Eddie Howe gets his sides playing. And they're fearless. You know, you very rarely see Bournemouth go down without a fight. And they're usually in games for a lot of time. And they're pleasing on the eye. They play the football that we like to see. They're back-to-front team. And on their day, they can cause problems. And you know, my concerns for Arsenal are always defensively and how open and vulnerable they are, especially when they're in possession. And I think Bournemouth are geared up to really, really cause Arsenal problems on the counter-attack especially.
Well, let's maybe start then with Arsenal's rear guard. We saw Callum Chambers alongside Rob Holding, didn't we, at the back, as part of the back three in the Carabao Cup semi-final first leg, who by hook or by crook kept a clean sheet against Chelsea. There are lots of options at the moment with players coming back. I'm not sure that Wenger or anybody knows whether to play 4 at the back or 5 at the back, and then which personnel to pick as well.
Well, to be honest with you, I don't think it matters particularly whether they play 3 or it's a 5 or it's a 4, because the way that Arsenal play, you know, both full-backs, whether they're playing wing-backs in Bellerin, Maitland-Niles or Kolasinac, or they've got full-backs, you know, they both attack at the same time anyway. So it all comes down to the middle of the pitch being protected, and that, for me, is the responsibility of the holding midfield players, which Arsenal don't seem to have. You know, Granit Xhaka was brought in as the security, the supposed to be the midfield general that holds, but he's not really that disciplined to sit in that position. And Jack Wilshere obviously now looks like he's going to be out injured for a while. He was alongside him. So I don't think, yeah, defensively for me, it doesn't just come down to the defenders, the back three or the back four. It's about, you know, the two players that sit in front of them giving the protection, because, as I alluded to earlier on, you know, I feel that Arsenal are one of the most vulnerable teams in the Premier League when they're in possession, because they're so gung-ho and they don't seem to have, you know, like Chelsea do and N'Golo Kante, the one that's the disciplined and sits in that kind of area, doesn't look to go beyond the ball. So when they do get caught out, they've got someone there to pick up the pieces. Arsenal don't have that. I prefer Arsenal with a back three, to be perfectly honest with you, because I think having the width of the box protected is helpful. But, you know, reality is, you know, they've got to communicate better and they have to play regularly together to get an understanding, which has been lacking for the last few seasons.
Yeah, it is a major concern, isn't it? And you look at someone like Francis Coquelin, maybe not the best, but someone who did a stout defensive midfield job, and he appears to be leaving. And then he's not maybe covered himself in immense glory this season and hasn't really kicked on. It is quite a problem, that, isn't it? The rear guard and how you defend in front of them. And then that impacts beyond that, further up the field as well, if the stability isn't there.
Absolutely. Well, I took the social media yesterday, you know, referring to the Coquelin transfer, and, you know, whether you rate him or not, as you rightly say, Russ, he is the most defensive-minded midfielder that Arsenal have. Elneny, again, is a little bit erratic, hasn't really adapted to the Premier League as of yet. So that leaves your options severely limited. And you know, it's such a vitally important position in modern football, that holding midfield position. And it is the insurance policy, and it gives the creative players a head, the license to go and express themselves without the worry of having to track back so much. You know, look at Ozil and Sanchez and Lacazette and Iwobi and Ramsey. You know, these guys, they're not disciplined enough to do the defensive work, and you need somebody that's going to do that. And unfortunately, that's a position that Arsenal have been looking to fill for a number of seasons, haven't quite found the right character to do that yet.
We managed to go 5 minutes without mentioning the S word, but we now have, which is Alexis Sanchez. Goodness knows what's happening, if he's leaving, when he's leaving, if it's to Manchester City. It can't be ideal, can it? This distraction that is ongoing with a man out of contract at the end of the season, and one who's played such a fundamental role in the club in recent years, but probably won't for much longer.
No, I think it's something that needs to be addressed and put to bed very quickly. You know, I haven't been particularly shy in my criticism of Alexis Sanchez this season. And that's nothing to do with me rating him as a player. He's a fantastic player. You know, some would argue world class. But, you know, last season he was Arsenal's talisman. You know, when things weren't going particularly well, he was the one that Arsenal turned to dig them out of a hole. And he would almost carry the team at times. But since the Manchester City saga has presented itself, it's no surprise that his head's been turned. And again, it'll be hypocritical of me to say that I wouldn't be tempted by the allure of going to a club like City with the wealth they have at their disposal. But it needs to be addressed. You know, it's obviously unsettled him. It's obviously unsettled other players within the dressing room, because of, you know, there's no smoke without fire. And some of the reports coming out of the club would suggest that people aren't particularly happy with how Alexis has conducted himself. You know, let's not detract from him as a player. As I said, he's a tremendous talent. But if he's not going to be committed to the cause, then you're far better cutting ties, letting him go to Parsons New, and look to find someone else to come in that's going to carry Arsenal forward. Whether that be Thomas Lamar for $90 million plus, or however it may be, they're going to have to invest big money to replace someone like Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. Alexandre Lacazette, just one more question on the Gunners. No goals in 7 now in the Premier League. It's his longest run without a goal in any of the top flights he's played in since 2013. How worried are you by his kind of lack of confidence as much as anything at the moment, it feels to me?
See, I'm not too worried about that, to be perfectly honest, because I've looked at his performances and I think he brings a lot more to the team than just goals. You know, he's such a diminutive character. He's not, you know, of the stature of Olivier Giroud, but he holds the ball up really well and his link-up play has been great. You know, he's not afraid to take the ball under pressure. He's not afraid to take contact, and he brings other players into play. And he must be so frustrated, because it seems to be every time you tick toward the 75-minute mark, you know almost that his number's going to go up and he's going to be dragged off. And he just needs a bit of love and I think a bit of reassurance that he's the main man. Obviously, Arsenal invested a lot of money in his talent in the summer, and we know that he can score goals. And it's just a case of now being given the belief that he's still the main man, and that I've no doubt in my mind that the creative players that Arsenal have, he will be given chances and he will eventually start converting those chances. He just needs to be given a bit of love and confidence from the powers that be. to keep him motivated and keep pushing to get on back on the score sheet.
Right, Reece. So Arsenal currently sits 2 points behind Spurs in fifth and 5 points behind Liverpool in fourth, having played the same number of games, 22. At the other end of the table, Bournemouth's fears equally as key to them and very different, aren't they? They are 1 point and 2 places above the dreaded bottom three. Do you fear for them?
A little bit. I touched on it briefly at the start of the show that, you know, I like the way Bournemouth play and I like their ethos and their philosophy and how they go about and they conduct themselves. But the reality is, British football doesn't necessarily manifest itself in points. And that's where Eddie Howe's team are really struggling at the moment. Scoring goals is an issue. And when you're scoring less than you're conceding, you're always going to be in trouble. It's a pretty basic statement, but that's the fact of the matter at the moment. And, you know, I think Bournemouth will have just about enough, because I think there are worse teams around them. But it's going to be troubling. They're well within, you know, a relegation battle already. I'm sure Eddie Howe's aware of that. You know, he's very positive and forthcoming in the media. He doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't hide away from questions. But the reality is Bournemouth are probably one of six teams that could potentially go down. And they need to start picking up points quickly. And again, playing Arsenal at this stage might not be the worst thing in the world for them, because with the Gunners away form, as wretched as it has been this season, you know, it may take a scalp like Arsenal to really kick-start Bournemouth's revival and get them moving back up the table.
Now, my take on the Cherries, and I'm sure we'll explore this more in our build-up to our commentary together on Sunday, Reece, but there are a lot of players who are kind of stalwarts of the club, who came and were with them in their journey from League One, the Championship, guys now who perhaps have found their ceiling and maybe have just gone over the hill. And Eddie's been very, very loyal to six or seven key members of his first team squad. One or two players he's brought in, I think of Jordan Ibe being a classic example, they haven't really improved that collective. And I just wonder if it's all a little bit stale.
Yeah, you might well be right. It's testament to how the club's run, in all fairness, how loyal he has been to the players that got Bournemouth to the Premier League. But the issue is, I mean, how are they going to refresh and galvanise a squad and lose seven key players? That's the issue. So, you know, it's going to be a progressive thing. And I think I'm sure Eddie Howe is aware of that fact. And he'll be looking to recruit throughout this month and moving into the summer. But, you know, I think survival's got to be the most important factor for Bournemouth. And they can worry about the personnel, you know, when they get to the summer. But something's going to have to change drastically. They're going to have to freshen things up and bring in new blood, younger players, players with Premier League experience. You know, if Bournemouth can stay up again, you know, that gives them a little bit more kudos to attract a slightly higher caliber of player, perhaps, and hopefully put them in a position to make themselves a little bit more comfortable in the Premier League.
Well, just finally then, Reece, Arsenal fought back from three down to earn a point in this corresponding fixture last season, but they've drawn one and won five head-to-head, Arsenal against Bournemouth. How do you honestly feel this is going to go, and why, if you're going to pick out perhaps a key battle area?
Well, I covered it last season for TalkSport International, and I was cursing Arsenal's defensive inabilities at that stage as well. And I think it'll be an open, free-flowing game. Neither team really is set up to defend. I think, you know, Callum Wilson, if he's fit, I think he can cause a few problems. You know, he's one that will run the channels. He'll hustle, he'll harry. And Arsenal don't tend to do too well against the more traditional striker types. But, you know, if Arsenal, they turn up and they equip themselves properly, I think they should have too much in terms of their creative abilities to beat Bournemouth. But I think it's going to be an open, free-flowing game, and I'm expecting a fair few goals from the fixture.
1:30 on Sunday outside the UK and Ireland. My good self and this man, Reece Weston, commentating on Bournemouth against Arsenal. I'll catch you then, pal.
Cheers, buddy.
You're listening to the Premier League Preview Show. Up next, we'll build up to one of the big games on Saturday. The focal point for many of the 3 o'clock kickoffs is Chelsea against Leicester. We'll talk about that game with Sam Parkin next. This is the Premier League Preview Show. Six games taking place on Saturday at 3 p.m. UK time. I guess for many, the big one is Chelsea against Leicester, the current Premier League champions against those who pulled off the fairy tale to be the champions of a year prior. Adam Bridge and former Blues striker Sam Parkin are our commentary team outside the UK and Ireland. And I'm pleased to say that Sam joins us now. How's it going, mate?
Hi, Russell. How are you doing?
Well, pretty good, thank you. Two champions of recent times. They've had, at times, kind of up and down spells since, haven't they? But of the two, Chelsea come in as the form team, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. I think given the lack of goals in the last couple of games, in the last couple of cup games, people think there's something of a bit of a mini crisis at Chelsea, but I think it can be further from the truth, really. I think just that West...
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Sam defeat in the last 17 games. So maybe drawing too many of the recent games, but in fine form, especially at Stamford Bridge, and just need to get back on the goal scoring trail. That's what's been letting them down. And I think that's what was the problem in the last couple of games. Clearly, Morata a little bit isolated, and I'd be amazed if we weren't to see Pedro or Willian to make an attacking trio at the weekend. And Chelsea, you would think, good opportunity to get back to winning ways.
Yeah, actually, I was chatting to Neil Mellie, your fellow former striker, in the show a little bit earlier, talking about Liverpool, and we were saying with them that the Reds, actually very good glut of form, has almost been forgotten about because of Man City's brilliance, and Chelsea actually in a similar boat to a degree, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I think as the Leicester season a few years ago was a bit of a freak, I think we're seeing something quite spectacular this year in regard to Manchester City's form. I mean, absolutely relentless. I think we all felt that they would come good. Second year under Guardiola, and certainly seems to be having a tremendous season. But yeah, I mean, Chelsea have been ticking along really nicely. Obviously got the Champions League fixture against Barcelona to look forward to in the new year. And not many defeats, but... just a little bit of a few of the top players like your Hazard, your Fabregas, Morata having a little bit of a dip at the moment. So be interesting to see what the January business is in terms of players coming into the club. But certainly they're not completely at it at the moment. But I would imagine Leicester, having been a bit streaky themselves recently, that Chelsea would have too much for them at the weekend.
And Sam, that ongoing feeling that Antonio Conte, the manager, is not happy with the size and the quality of his squad. He makes various kind of pleas and points to Roman Abramovich, doesn't he, about it. Do you see there being quite a few new faces coming in over January? Because it's clearly what he wants, I guess, with his own future not 100% sure as well.
Yeah, I think a couple of the games when he shuffled the pack, there hasn't been enough of the fringe players standing up really and saying, you know, I deserve to be a regular in your side. And I think that's what's been the disappointing thing for him really in a couple of the Carabao Cup games, certainly. So I feel they need two or three more. Definitely a striker. I felt that was a necessity in the summer. I thought Llorente would have been a good buy just for someone to be in reserve really in case the Morata one didn't work out straight away. So I definitely think that a striker may come in. Obviously, the Ross Barkley deal is a good deal for Chelsea, another English midfielder into the squad. And maybe just one more would see them all right until the summer. But it's going to be interesting because players like Batshuayi, Kennedy, they've had opportunities now in the first team. And for one reason or another, Antonio Conte doesn't really want to go with them. So I feel something has to give in this window, or we could be hearing more noises from Antonio Conte saying that he may overflow the nest in the summer.
Someone like Davide Zappacosta, at least, is finding a bit of form now. I don't think any goals or assists in 11 games, and then he's had a couple off the bench in his last two. So he's perhaps the kind of guy that others need to follow in really standing tall in the second half of the season, which is such a formative time in the calendar, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, still, you know, fighting on a number of fronts, Chelsea. It was always going to be the question whether they could maintain a challenge in the Premier League with the Champions League and obviously the other domestic cup competitions. So it's vital that you have the fringe players, you know, playing a part when they're called upon. Zappacosta, I think, has been a vital one, given that Moses and Alonso are so integral to the way Chelsea play. I think we've seen it since that change in system when Antonio Conte lost a couple of games, high-profile games, start of last year. Those two have been incredible, the consistency. But when one or the other is missing, it's a real problem for Chelsea. You lose that balance straight away. It happened a few times with Moses last year. I remember the Crystal Palace game at home was a defeat on that day just because Pedro was having to play out wide. So definitely maybe someone in that area. Zappacosta has done a good job, but maybe someone to be an understudy to Alonso would be sensible in the window as well.
You and I were pretty fresh-faced youngsters when Leicester last won at Stamford Bridge in the Premier League. It was September 2000, courtesy of Muzzy Izzet and a certain Stan Collymore. You throw that in, yeah. You throw in the fact that Chelsea have won the last seven home Premier League games against anyone as well. The Bridge is going to be a big factor in this one, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd think so. I mean, Leicester obviously are very, very good at home. And they've had a few wobbles recently. Obviously lost a couple of away games at Liverpool and at Watford, but got some really talented players in their team. I saw them live against Palace. They lost 3-0 on that day. But, I mean, you know, where they are now compared to where they were prior to winning the title, it's completely different now. Just the feeling around the place. You know, it's a proper football club. Once again, Leicester now, with some outstanding players. I mean, the numbers again for Jamie Vardy and Mahrez this season, very good. Mahrez creating and scoring goals. So that is the biggest thing for them, really, keeping hold of him in this window to aid Jamie Vardy in the goal-scoring terms. And no, I think it'll be a difficult game for Chelsea. They always pose a threat on the counter-attack with Vardy's pace. He loves playing up against the top six clubs. But, it's a difficult game for them facing after, like I said, a bit of a streaky period when they've only won one game in six, I think.
Yeah, we saw Puel come in, do brilliantly for a while, far better than I expected. I've got to say, I was a little bit sceptical of that appointment. Then they had a bit of a blip. That victory, though, against Huddersfield in their last Premier League game just gives them that momentum again. They're back up to eighth. They're looking up rather than down. And I just wonder whether the juices will flow and the memories of a couple of seasons ago with the likes of Mahrez and Vardy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even though they've lost a couple of lads to Chelsea, the main sources of goals remain for them. And having that hard work in, whether it be Okazaki or Slimani alongside Vardy as well, they've got the talent of Damari Gray as well in a wide area, or Brighton still at the football club. So, you know, they've still got a lot going for them, Leicester, and it's built on that solid foundation as well. Some of the players that remain from that title season in terms of Schmeichel and Morgan, you add to that the class of Maguire as well. Like I said a few minutes ago, it's a good club and it's a good side still now who have deserve their place in the upper echelons of the Premier League now after doing it consistently for a few seasons. And I think we've been surprised by a number of managers this year, Russell. So you've got to be careful when they get a gig now in terms of the Allardyce and Moyes and Puel. I think we've been very quick to write people off, even Roy Hodgson doing an amazing job at Palace. So Claude Puel has obviously got something about him, had success in France, wonderful thing at Southampton. And it's probably a case of be careful what you wish for. The Southampton fans seems to have fitted in beautifully at Leicester.
Yeah, Vardy seems to save a lot of his goals these days in the Premier League for the Big Six, doesn't he? He scored 22 goals in 41 appearances against those that are right near the top of the table. Mahrez is often a big game player as well. And I've just got a funny feeling whether it might be a game where those two just pick a surrounding like the Bridge as a time to maybe deliver if they have that opportunity.
Yeah, Vardy's brilliant records. You would think that teams would have worked out how to play against him, but if he's not on the shoulder, he can be very aggressive attacking crosses. He gets a decent amount of chances in the air as well. Obviously, it's always going to be that little ball slid down into the channel, which Mahrez is always a really good architect in those situations. So they'll cause considerable threat. He's in good goal scoring form at the moment against the big club, scored against the Manchester clubs earlier on in the month. So he'll be in fine fettle, especially given that he missed the game the other day. So he should be really looking forward to getting back out there. And Mahrez, we don't know what the future holds for him at the moment. If he is looking to get away, he still needs to keep producing. If he's not to be in the January window, then I'm sure there'll be various suitors in the summer. He needs to maintain his form because he's been in incredible form in the last few weeks.
Let's finish, if we can, then back on your former team in the form of Chelsea. And Sam, they currently sit third. They're a point behind Man United in second. They're 2 points ahead of Liverpool in fourth. What do you think will be their finishing position in the league this season? Top one, I think we can safely say, is gone for everybody. But fifth, sixth, still not that far behind if Spurs or Arsenal can go on a tear.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any reason why they can't maintain the form and get that second spot. I think the home form has been very good. They've encountered a certain degree of problems when they're playing up against teams that sit very deep away from home. A couple of shutouts recently. Obviously, the West Ham one, they were beaten. And Everton, they failed to breach their defence as well. So I think it's adding a little bit more firepower to help Morata. And obviously seeing, you know, what happens in the next rounds of the relative cup competitions. And it was a question at the start of the season. It was a question, you know, I spoke about a few minutes ago, it's whether they can maintain the fight on all fronts. And I think if they progress to the latter stages of the domestic cup competitions and the Champions League, it may just be too tight unless they do some incredibly good business in the January window. But no, in terms of the league form, I think they're still probably second best behind Manchester City and be looking to maintain that.
Sam Parkin will be alongside Adam Bridge outside the UK and Ireland. Chelsea versus Leicester is our featured 3 p.m. UK time commentary game this coming Saturday. And Sam, we look forward to hearing you then.
Cheers, Russell.
This is the Premier League preview show. In a couple of moments' time, we'll look ahead to the other seven games taking place across the course of this Premier League weekend. Great to have you company on the Premier League preview show. I'm Russell Hargreaves as we now take the opportunity to look ahead to the other seven games taking place in England's top tier over the course of the weekend to come. To help me do that very thing, delighted to say that David Walker, TalkSport's football editor, joins us. Dave, how are you keeping?
I'm all right, Russ. How are you?
Not too bad.
Thanks for stepping into the not inconsiderable shoes of Tom Rennie this week.
They are big shoes.
It's been nice for me, actually. I've just let you get on with it, and I'll have my feet up.
Well, you've been dutifully going through a few stats on all of these games, most of which you've already got, of course, in your brain, but a few more to add aside.
Yeah.
Seven to get through. We'll start, I think, with the Saturday evening game, UK time. Tom Rennie and Paul McVeigh. The former Tottenham and Norwich midfielder, Northern Ireland international, of course, as well. They'll be behind the microphone, 5:30 UK time, for Tottenham against Everton. What do we make of this one?
Well, it's a big game for both teams, because Everton, after having that initial sort of upturn in fortunes when Allardyce took over, have had a few dodgy results lately, and some of the Everton fans grumbling already about what their new reality may be under Sam Allardyce, and they've been used to good football under the likes of Martinez and Koeman in the good times in the past, and they're not necessarily going to get that anymore, but they, you know, he will do what he does. He'll move them up the table, but they could do with a result. And Spurs, as you mentioned with Sam, they're in that chasing pack to get into the top four. They're not too far behind, 3 points outside the top four at the moment. If, you know, if Liverpool might lose against Man City, you would think at the weekend possibly they could get back in there. But it's, despite them, on paper, it's not too bad, is it? You look at that league table, look at the games, they've actually not lost in 10 at Wembley, but it still hasn't been brilliant. That game last time out against West Ham, it was a difficult game for them.
Yeah, I commentated on that game for us.
I mean, the West Ham were
great
not,
goals.
They were not bothered about playing football, whether they were just there to do a job.
Tough commentary for the first 70 minutes.
Yeah, and they did it, but there's been a number of games at this season where Spurs have had to come up against opponents who want to dig in and defend and make it difficult, and I could see Everton trying to do that, and I think it might be another one of those games where it's going to be tight. Spurs probably win it, but I don't think it'll be pretty.
Spurs Everton with Tom Rennie and Paul McVeigh. Let's take a look then at the other 3 p.m. UK time games on Saturday. Of course, you can hear all of these by dipping into our full live commentary of them. Crystal Palace Burnley, first of all. I've seen a lot of Palace this season, fair bit of Burnley as well. I just wonder, at home with Burnley's little mini blip, if Roy's revolution might continue again.
Well, maybe, but no side has drawn more away games than Burnley in the Premier League this season. They're very good at going away on the road and getting a point. Last season, they were hopeless on the road. Used to lose, lost pretty all but one game. And this season, they've managed to grind out nil-nils, low-scoring draws. They don't give much away. I can see they're going to make it difficult for Palace. But an interesting stat that caught my eye about this game. So no player has won more Premier League penalties this season than Wilfried Zaha for Crystal Palace, and you can understand why.
Mm.
And no player has conceded more individually than Burnley's James Tarkowski.
Good player, though, funnily enough.
He's had a good season.
He's part of Hargo's Harriers, so he was dropped off during his suspension. But that aside, he's been a mainstay of my mid-table fantasy league
Burnley
side.
Defenders are very good in fantasy football. Zaha's been doing a good job for me lately. He might get an assist or a goal for this penalty that inevitably is going to come on Saturday. But, you know, we've talked a lot about Burnley on the show this season. We've been very impressed by Sean Dyche. We actually thought they might struggle this season, but they made us look silly, and they've made a lot of people look silly, sitting as high as they are in the Premier League table. And it's all the more amazing that they've done it, making just 18 changes to their starting 11, which is the lowest of any team in the Premier League. You know, they've had a lot of games over Christmas. They had Man City last weekend in the Cup. They made four changes to their lineup, which was, by their standards, unusual, but they had to. So we'll see whether, once we're now getting past Christmas and into the new year, is it going to catch up with them at some point? Are the fitness levels going to hold out? They've been lucky with injuries and suspensions. So far, so good. But Palace have been great since Hodgson came in. He's done what he always does. I mean, everyone, I think, had written him off after the England debacle two summers ago in the Euros. But he's confident in his abilities. He's come in. He's got them well drilled. They're much harder to beat, and it's been better.
Okay, so Huddersfield against West Ham is another of the 3 p.m. Saturday kickoffs UK time. The Hammers, as we mentioned, with that hard-fought draw at the London at Wembley, with a stunning goal. I love commentating on Pedro Obiang's strike. It was just remarkable. Away to Huddersfield, who is very hard to quantify. They've done really well. At home is clearly where most of their forte lies, but they're still prone to the odd bad result, as a team of their size, with all due respect, probably should be in the Premier League.
Well, this is not exactly the battle of the entertainers, is it? Huddersfield, even when they do well, they don't score many goals. When they came up with a negative goal difference from the Championship last season. They won a lot of games 1-0, they drew a lot, they really did scrape up. Even the final, they eventually went up on penalties, didn't they? And West Ham, since Moyes has come in, they've, much like we've just been talking about of Hodgson, he's tightened them up. He's got them organised. He's got them fitter. On average, this season, under Slaven Bilic in 11 games, they were averaging 105 kilometres per game, the West Ham players. Since Moyes has come in, that's gone up to 112. So they're obviously working a lot harder. They are more organised. And I could see this one being really tight. I mean, Huddersfield have got to take advantage when they're at home. They've got to get points against these teams who are down there in the bottom half of the table with them.
Okay, let's move on to Newcastle United against Swansea City. Two teams near the foot of the table. Newcastle on a bit of a mini renaissance of late, but far from safe. And Swansea still rock bottom. And what do you make of the relatively new man at the helm in Carlos Carvajal?
Well, I think we were all quite surprised when he took over. But his first game in charge, he won. Getting a win out of nowhere at Vicarage Road, two goals in the last 2 minutes of the game. And it may have been a fortunate result. You know, Watford may have thrown it away, but it's a win and it's a great confidence booster. They got a draw in the cup against Wolves last week, which many people thought they might lose.
Yep.
Wolves are doing so superbly in the Championship at the moment. So there will be confidence back in those players, or at least they'll be starting to get more confident, because clearly they've not been good enough this season. The goals, you know, it's been goals that's been the problem. They haven't scored enough goals, and the same can be said of Newcastle, really. They don't really have anyone. Neither of these teams have a striker you can rely on.
Yeah, I would concur. I still think Dwight Gayle is maybe Newcastle's best bet, but he's been tried and dropped and tried and dropped, and the other options have hardly stood tall as well. Watford, Southampton, I presume you've outed your allegiance over time, have you, on this show?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Good.
We've normally done a lot more Watford by this point in the show.
Up against the Southampton team, who I commentated on last Tuesday for us when they led and then lost to Palace. And my goodness, was St Mary's unhappy with Maurizio Pellegrino. They've then had a decent cup win against Fulham. They now head to your boys. This is, again, a tough one to quantify, isn't it?
It's a big game for both teams. Both teams in desperate need of a win, really, in the Premier League, because Watford have only won one in their last seven Premier League games, losing all the others. And that game was a slightly fortuitous one against Leicester City. over Christmas, Boxing Day that was. Been losing that game against Swansea was just really, you know, typical of what's been going on at Vicarage Road of late. They'd lost the game against Palace with two goals in the last minute, having been 1-0 up. They've thrown away points. It's turned from the start of the season where Richarlison was popping up with last-minute equalisers and winners. So now they can't keep a draw, can't hold on to a win. And it's concerning. It really is concerning. And Southampton, you know, they're another team who I think on paper, Watford would probably think they should be winning this game with the players they have and the displays they have given at times this season, particularly against some of the bigger sides in the league. But how it's going, it's going to be tricky. I think that win last week against Bristol City in the FA Cup for Watford was important. Deeney came back after his four-game suspension, scored. Carrillo scored again. Pereira looked good. So, you know, confidence was very low before that match, and hopefully it's been boosted slightly. Southampton are in a very tricky spell themselves. I think this is the sort of game Watford are going to need to score first, but they're going to need to score again. I think that they need to get a two-goal lead to win this match. Otherwise, I can see becoming very nervy towards the end. And Nathan Redmond, if he plays on Saturday, he loves scoring against Watford. He scored more against Watford than he has against any other opponent in the league.
He doesn't get the license to get forward and show his very best, does he? Which, as we understand it, is what Pep Guardiola was screaming in his ear after the City Southampton game a few weeks ago. Anyway, two more teams, David, who have hardly had a great run of late, are West Brom and Brighton. The Seagulls have slipped down the table a tad. The Baggies at least got a win in the Cup last weekend to end their just unbelievably long record winless streak in all competitions.
Yeah, and this is a massive game for West Brom. Brighton are not very good away from home. Much like Huddersfield, they've got majority of their points at the Amex down on the south coast. And West Brom have got to be looking at this as an opportunity to end that dismal run, build some confidence, get some life back into the setup there at the Hawthorns, because it's been a miserable season for them so far. They've seen absolutely no new manager bounce under Pardew, a manager known for going on streaks. If he can get this one, maybe they can win two, three or four matches or pick up some points and start to edge towards safety, because it's not looking good for them at the moment. And Alan Pardew in particular, he's won just 9 of the last 57 points available to him as a manager, stretching back to September 2016 when he was still in charge of Crystal Palace. So they need something from somewhere. I think this month is huge for them because they're obviously looking to bring in a striker. They've been linked quite heavily the last few days with Troy Deeney of Watford. I mean, I'm not certain that he would be the man who's going to come in and score the goals for them.
Black Country boy, isn't he? Get him back home, Walsall lad.
Yeah, he probably might be a good time for him. I'm not sure, but I think they need to find goals from somewhere because, again, like a lot of these teams down there, they don't have a dependable front man. Rondon doesn't score enough goals. Rodriguez doesn't score enough goals. And, you know, it's difficult to see where they're going to come from.
Quick word then to conclude. That was all the 3 p.m. Saturday kickoffs UK time with the Monday night fixture, 8 o'clock. Again, live commentary. We can bring everyone outside the UK and Ireland. John Anderson and Matthew Etherington, formerly of Stoke City, as the Potters head to Manchester United.
Stoke have got a terrible record at Old Trafford. When do you think the last time they won at Old Trafford was? In all competitions, this is.
I'm going to say 1969.
No, not quite far back as that. 1976.
Far off.
Yeah.
Still wasn't born.
In their last 17 away trips against Man United in all competitions, they have failed to win, only drawing twice, losing 15 of those games. But look, that doesn't really matter as pertains to this Saturday. What matters is that they are in a tailspin at the moment. They have conceded so many goals. They have completely lost everything that was good about them under Pulis. They've lost everything that was good about them under Hughes when it was going well towards the start of his reign. And it's been terrible. They're losing to League Two Coventry City last weekend in the FA Cup. They've got caretaker Eddie Nizvecki. Are we going with that pronunciation?
We are. It's what Mark Bowen says.
It's a Polish surname that we're not quite sure how to pronounce, but he's a caretaker. We're not really sure.
Confidently, I've made a career out of that. So.
We're not really sure who's going to take over. Kiki Flores has been linked recently in the last few days.
Martin O'Neill. Talks back on Wednesday.
Yeah, look, it would have been interesting to see whether they'd gone calling back to Pulis had he not taken the Middlesbrough job a few weeks ago as well. But look, I can't see. This is not the game where Stoke City are going to turn around their fortunes. Manchester United, I think, will win this. But
it's not well there, though, either, is it?
No, it's not. And
they're second.
Jose's been very preoccupied with his battle with Antonio Conte in recent weeks. I'm sure we haven't heard the end of that as well. before the end of the season. But I think United, they're going to win this. It might not have been brilliant football all season at Old Trafford, but they've had a few disappointing draws of late, which is kind of reminding Old Trafford Man United fans of the last couple of seasons under Mourinho and Van Gaal, back to the old sort of stodgy, very un-Manchester United-like performances. But a player who has been superb over the last month and really kicked on, I think, is Jesse Lingard. Scored 11 and assisted a further 5 goals in all competitions for Man United this season, which is averaging a goal or assist every 88 minutes. And, you know, he really is a player that, when United have been down and out this season, he's come up trumps in big matches, big important moments, and scored goals. And I can see him doing it again.
David Walker
on Monday.
Talk Sports football editor. Thank you very much indeed. Tom Rennie is back after his little mid-season break. He's been sunning himself
somewhere.
Well,
he has a lot of them.
He does. Yeah. But he will be back for Saturday's game, as we mentioned, Spurs-Everton. And then in this slot for the Premier League preview show next week. Until then, I'm Russell Hargreaves. Thanks. It's been a pleasure.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.